spirit of heaviness, lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Spirit of heaviness, lift up your voice to God. Raise with the Spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. For He has made me glad.
Today we celebrate Mother's Day. There is no position or role in life that deserves more honor and recognition than motherhood. In many ways, no other position in life has greater influence, for good or bad, on society. Mothers are our first and most constant teachers and examples. No other responsibility in life requires a greater amount of toil or hardship or sacrifice in order to be successful. Mothers are not only responsible for their life and needs, but for their husbands and children's as well, at least as far as the administration of the household is concerned. That's a lot of responsibility. The virtues of motherhood that God admires and has ordained are far more than the ability to bear children. Giving birth to children does not make one a mother in the fullest sense of the title. There are a number of women in the Bible that God points to as examples of the virtues of motherhood that God admires. Many of these virtues are virtues that God desires to see in all of His children, men, women, children, and not just mothers. As we consider a few of these examples today, may we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart, the things that will cause each of us to be more pleasing to Him no matter what our role in life is. Those of you who are mothers, you can seek to follow these examples and allow God to develop these virtues in you. And those who have had or still have such a godly mother, you can thank God for the great blessing and privilege that you've had because you had the kind of mother that pleases God. All of us can seek to be pleasing to the Lord in the role of life to which we have been called, knowing that God has revealed to us His will for every relationship and every role in life. So we can all learn something from these examples that we're going to consider. The virtues that we're going to consider in the life of several godly women and mothers are virtues that God will develop in all of us as we look to Him in faith. So we'll begin with the example of the mother of all mothers, Eve. We learn from Eve's example that one of the greatest virtues that a woman and mother can possess is a dependence on the grace of God. Eve was created the ideal woman, beautiful, intelligent, and industrious. And yet she miserably failed and suffered the consequences of her failure when she trusted in her own abilities, strength, and intelligence. Her descendants after her were also negatively impacted by her failures. And as we consider Eve's experience and her failure, despite her abilities and talents, we ask ourselves, how could she go on and ultimately fulfill her role as the mother of all living after having failed so miserably by being deceived by Satan's lie that God's word could not be trusted because it was not true? How could she go on after such a great failure? It was because she learned to believe the promise of God's grace concerning the provision of a Savior for the human race. She believed that God was going to use her to meet mankind's greatest need and give the answer to her greatest failure. In Genesis 3:15, we read this promise that was made. Genesis 3 and verse 15, the third chapter of Genesis, verse 15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." She had doubted God's word and helped to plunge the human race into the darkness of sin. But then she returned to embrace the promise of God's word that he was graciously going to use her to bring in the Savior of the world who would deliver her descendants from sin. Satan had deceived her into believing God's word was a lie. God gives her the opportunity to believe his promise of grace. Ladies, you will not be able to successfully fulfill all your roles and responsibilities in life until you learn to throw yourself on the grace and the mercy of God, just as Eve had to do. Dependence on the grace of God will cause you to look to him to provide everything you need to be successful in life. Dependence on his grace will give you the strength and boldness to stand up again when you fall short of what he's called you to do and to be. Dependence on his grace will give you the strength to endure the hardships and sufferings that come with being a wife and a mother. His grace will be sufficient for you, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Paul wrote these words to the Corinthians. He said, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." A successful mother, a successful woman who is praised by God is not one who never fails, but is one who is constantly applying the grace of God that supplies forgiveness when you fail, restoration, and that supplies everything you need to live a life that honors God. Eve had to learn that, and so do all of her descendants. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, it wasn't because of all of his physical or intellectual strengths and abilities that he was able to do everything that he did. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, Paul makes it clear, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Ladies, you can be the mother that God wants you to be, but you'll need to learn to daily lean upon the grace of God, who will make you everything you need to be for his glory and for your eternal good. Now let's go on to the next example that we'll look at today, and that is the mother of Moses. Jochebed was her name. Her name means Jehovah is glorious. Stop and think about the influence that Moses, the man Moses, has had on the course of history. His contributions to the human race concerning many of the fundamental revelations of man's creator and his purposes are enormous. We know much about God because of Moses. In addition to his contributions to the human race concerning spiritual and eternal matters, Moses has also had an impact on the formation of modern Western society. the rule of law that governs most of modern society in the Western world today, including our own, has as its cornerstone the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments. Imagine how different your life would be without the influence of Moses. And then remember that Moses could not have accomplished anything that he did if it had not been for the efforts and influence of his mother. Mothers, your life often seems mundane, routine, and insignificant. But you need to remember that your life matters and has the potential to influence your children and others for eternity. The two prominent virtues of Jochebed's life that I want us to consider this morning are, number one, she valued the life of her child and preserved it at great risk and inconvenience to herself. That's how much she valued the life of Moses. The second thing that we'll notice about Jochebed's life is that she taught Moses the fear of Jehovah. So the first virtue, she valued the life of her child and preserved it at great risk and inconvenience to herself. Let's read in Hebrews 11 and verse 23. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. Here we see how and why Moses' mother did what she did. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Now, the fact that they thought their child was beautiful is certainly not unique to Moses' parents. But the thought behind the description here of a beautiful child is that there was something special about him. And apparently, God had revealed to Moses' parents that God had a plan for Moses. And so they, by faith, because faith only comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, by faith they hid Moses. Pharaoh had instructed the Jewish midwives to kill any boy babies at birth born to Jewish mothers. Government-sanctioned infanticide. That's what it was. Because they feared the Lord, they didn't obey these Jewish midwives. Then Pharaoh commanded his soldiers to go and to kill any newborn Jewish boys. Moses' mother knew that the gift of life comes from God and it is to be valued. She knew that God had a plan for Moses' life, and at great risk to her own safety and at great inconvenience, she preserved his life. One of the greatest tragedies of our society today is the evil of abortion, the killing of unborn children for the sake of convenience. Our government tells us that it is justified by the right of women to choose what they want to do with their bodies. But that explanation doesn't make abortion moral or justified any more than Pharaoh justifying his order to kill all male Jewish boys by saying that they may be a threat to national security, therefore we're justified in doing this. All life is a gift from God and is to be valued and preserved and protected within the confines of the revealed will of God. In Psalm 127 and verse 3, we read these words. Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Parents, you need to understand the value God places on your child. They may be diamonds in the rough, but you need to see the potential and value that they can be in the will and work of God. Don't look at your children as burdens. Thank God for them. Know that they are given to you to give you an opportunity to be a part of what God is going to do in them and through them for eternity and for the glory of God. Notice that Moses' parents didn't preserve his life through political action or by political pressure, but by faith. The only real remedy to the sin of abortion, or any sin for that matter, is a heart that is surrendered to the will of God. And that kind of heart is only possible through the miracle of being made new through faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot legislate regeneration. Regeneration comes from hearing and believing the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why the mission of the church is to proclaim the good news of the gospel and not to form political protests. Mothers, if you will remember that your children are given to you by the all-wise God, your loving Father, it will give you perspective to handle all the challenges of motherhood. And there are many of those challenges. But when you remember that these children are a reward, they are precious in the sight of the Lord, and you have an opportunity to be part of what God is going to do in them and through them for eternity, just as Moses' parents did. Now, the second thing that we see in the life of Moses' mother is that she taught him the fear of Jehovah. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, and we'll read verses 24 to 27. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, and verses 24 and 27, Hebrews 11, verses 24 to 27, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We might read in Proverbs 31 and verse 30 as well, so that we understand the virtue that we want to consider here. Proverbs 31 and verse 30, and the virtue that God admires in mothers. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, Proverbs 31:30 says. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. When you think of Moses and how he made that decision to leave all the riches and pleasures of Egypt to be identified with God and his people, where do you suppose that Moses learned about the people of God and the promise of a Christ, a Messiah, a Savior that was to come to deliver the people of Israel? Where did he learn the fear of the Lord? It was in those years when Jacob had raised him as his nursemaid. Now, Moses, growing up, he learned the wisdom of Egypt from Egypt's greatest professors and greatest wise men. But he learned the fear of the Lord on the knees of his mother, who was a despised and insignificant slave. But it was from her that Moses learned the most important thing in life, to fear God. Mothers, this is your greatest charge in raising your children. There's nothing wrong with the best education you can afford. Nothing wrong with involvement in athletics and entertainment. But none of those things are your primary responsibility in raising your children. If you provide nothing else for your child but an understanding of the fear of the Lord, you have served your children well. But the opposite is also true. If you neglect their education in spiritual matters in order to involve them in everything else, you have done your children a great injustice. 2 Timothy 1 and verses 3 to 5. Timothy had a godly mother. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 3 to 5. We read about Timothy's mother here in 2 Timothy 1, 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Timothy also learned the fear of the Lord from his mother, from his grandmother. In Psalm 145 and verses 1 to 4, Psalm 145 and verses 1 to 4, we read these words, Psalm 145, 1. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Mothers, your greatest responsibility as a mother is to pass on to your children the opportunity to know the Lord, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to prepare them for life and for eternity by giving them an understanding of the Word of God that reveals the will of God for their life. God admires mothers who pass on to their children, to the next generation, an understanding of the fear of the Lord. The next example of a godly mother we find in the life of Hannah. Hannah is the mother of the prophet Samuel, and she also understood that her son was a miracle and a gift of God's grace. However, she also understood something that all mothers need to understand. The children that God gives are not our own. They belong to Him. We are only given charge over them for a little while. Hannah only had Samuel for a few short years, and then quite literally, she gave him up for the service of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4 and verses 1 to 2, when we understand that we are only administrators, stewards of the children that God gives us, then it will cause us to have the proper perspective in raising our children. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We are stewards of the children that God gives us. We will be held accountable for how we raise our children, accountable to God. They are not our own, and they never were. They belong to Him. They are His. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner and more often we will cry out to Him for wisdom and direction in raising them, so that we will be successful and pleasing to Him, knowing that we are accountable to Him. And mothers, the sooner you learn to cry out to the Lord in every circumstance and situation, those stressful situations and circumstances in raising your children, the sooner you'll know the peace of the Lord, the sooner you'll find the wisdom and the strength to do what's necessary to bring those children up in the fear of the Lord. Now let's look at the example of the mother of Jesus, Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, certainly possessed all the virtues that we have noticed so far in the previous examples of godly, virtuous women. She knew that her child was certainly a gift from God in so many ways. She risked her own life to bring forth her son into the world, the very fact that she carried, as a virgin, the Son of God. She risked her life in order to bring forth her son. She taught him the fear of the Lord. She understood that Jesus was not her own, but was in every sense of the word, God's Son. Now clearly, the mother-son relationship of Mary and Jesus was unique in so many ways that will never ever be duplicated or shared by any other mother or child. That's true. Nevertheless, there are also many things that are identical to all other mother-child relationships. The final virtue that we'll consider this morning that God values in mothers is one that Mary demonstrates for us on several occasions, and one that she had to progressively learn just like all other mothers. It is the virtue of learning to let your children go to do the will of God as adult children. In Luke chapter 2 and verses 42 to 50, Luke chapter 2 and verse 42, Luke chapter 2 beginning at verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. I do understand we are talking about the Son of God incarnate and the early age at which he manifested the understanding of his calling. But it was a reminder to Mary that the day was coming when Jesus would no longer be accountable directly to her. When the time came for her to let him go to do the will of God, She was made to understand that her role as protector, director, and teacher had come to an end, and that her role was now as a fellow worshiper and follower of God, which included watching her son die a cruel death. In Mark 3, in verses 31 to 35, Mary began to have this clear revelation of what her changing role was. In Mark 3, in verses 31 to 35, "Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' But he answered them, saying, 'Who is my mother or my brothers?' And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother.'" I do believe that Mary learned the difficult lesson of how to transition from her role as a mother of a young child to her role of a mother of an adult child. In John chapter 2, in verses 1 to 5, we see that transition come to its full circle. In John chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, "And on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.'" That's all she said, but Jesus knew what she meant. In verse 4, "Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come.'" That hour of the public full display of the power of God in the Son of God. That time had not yet come for that public display. "But his mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says to you, do it.'" Of course, ladies, I realize Mary's son was the all-wise Son of God, so her transition was probably in some ways a little easier than yours, and in other ways infinitely more difficult. Nevertheless, we must all learn to allow our adult children to learn to seek, find, and obey the will of God for their life. Jesus told his mother that it was not yet time for the public open manifestation of the power of God in his life and ministry, and it wasn't. This miracle, though many benefited from it, this miracle was only known to a few, to the disciples, to the servants, to Mary. And so Jesus didn't openly display his power publicly, but Mary knew it was time for him to do the will of his Father in heaven. Sadly, we understand, mothers, some young people will make the wrong choices when it's time to let them go. But we must, by faith, turn them over to their God and allow him to deal with them according to his loving faithfulness. Mothers, you will never stop being their mother. That means you will continue to pray for them. You will continue to be there for comfort and strength and direction as they seek it. But when it's all said and done, they belong to God. And one of the most difficult transitions for a mother is to understand this child, who is now an adult responsible for their own choices, they belong to God. Faith, obedience, and the fear of the Lord are the threads that bind all of these biblical examples of godly women that God values in mothers as well as in all of his people. Faith, obedience, and the fear of the Lord. Those of us that had the privilege of being raised by a godly mother have much to be thankful for. We honor such mothers by following their example of faith. In Proverbs 6, we read these words, Proverbs 6 and verse 20. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." In Proverbs 23 and verses 22 to 26. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." What a privilege we have, those of us that have been raised in godly homes, God-fearing homes. What a privilege we've been given, and what an opportunity it is for us to do the will of God, because there were those that were faithfully teaching us the fear of the Lord. Those who did not have the privilege of being raised by godly parents, you have the privilege of being influenced by these examples of godly mothers in the Bible, to know that there is a different way, and that you yourselves can now be the example to the next generation. By the power and the privilege of the new birth, each of us have the grace of God as our mother. No matter what our natural upbringing was, we can all grow up to be sons of God that cause the heart of our Heavenly Father to rejoice, and that honor our Mother of Grace. We are what we are by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we can all be everything that God wants us to be in every relationship, and enjoy the blessings of obedience in this life and the rewards for faithfulness in eternity. Saints, we have everything we need to have God's best. Each of us, male or female, adult or child, we can be successful in our roles in life as we learn to allow God to develop in us the virtues of His own divine nature. We honor those this morning who honor God, but more importantly, God honors those who honor Him.